Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:03 British Summer Time. Today is April 24th. Well, today being Friday, it's the big picture, long-term audio for the various different asset classes, but this has really been an eventful week, so perhaps we should start with a review of what's been going on. Well, last week capped off 6 consecutive weeks on the upside for a number of leading markets, and we've seen that some of those have posted some rather impressive downward dynamics this week. The two really standout ones have been China, and we saw that Taiwan posted a large key reversal on Friday. And we had a key reversal on China in the middle of this week. However, we haven't had very much follow through. In fact, Taiwan has recouped about half its loss, and China, as of this morning, hadn't pulled back very much further. And we continue to see that the 6 week uptrend, or the 6 consecutive weeks on the upside, have turned into 7 consecutive weeks on the upside, if only by a single point in the case of the S&P, having recouped its decline earlier in the week rather impressively towards the end of the week. So we're seeing that some of the leading markets have pulled back, but other markets that perhaps hadn't led are still pushing to the upside. Today was also impressive in the performance of some of the Latin American markets. We have seen, for example, that Peru has pulled back rather sharply, but not had any follow-through in common with China and Taiwan. But we see that Brazil and Mexico both pushed up to new high ground in here today. So we are, at the moment at least, looking as if this is the best case scenario in terms of any kind of pullback. It does appear that for some of the leading markets, the supply and demand is coming back into balance somewhat, but we haven't had any follow through to the downside. That suggests that there is still demand out there, that it is more of demand and supply coming back into balance rather than demand disappearing entirely. And at the moment, we're seeing rather tight consolidations. And in the case of, for example, something like silver, or sorry, copper, I meant to say, copper pulled back from around $2.50 at the end of last week and was at $1.95 this morning, but rallied back above the $2 mark into the close and closed up over 6 cents. So we're starting to see some to and fro in the copper market as well. And of course, a number of these leading markets, even though they have had these downward dynamics and appear to be moving into these consolidation areas, have plenty of room in which to consolidate and create a first step above the base, which is what we would expect to happen, having really broken out quite emphatically from their bases. And of course, a number of these markets have rallied to their 200-day moving average, which is a natural area of consolidation. So that's pretty much where we are with a large number of stock markets, and we see that some of the leading commodities, such as copper and platinum, have pulled back as well, but they haven't had very much follow-through and remain relatively consistent within the uptrends that they have posted over the last couple of months. This has also been an important week for the dollar because it was quite firm at the beginning of the week but has been giving up ground into the end of the week. The euro is up by a full cent in here today, but you'll see that I posted a number of these important currency charts in comment of the day today when I posted, and these are the Norwegian crown, the Canadian dollar, the Singapore dollar, or the Swedish krona, because all of these have shown quite considerable strength against the dollar over the last couple of weeks, but we particularly saw against the Norwegian crown that the crown had got weaker into the beginning of the week and has been taking back its lost ground into the end of the week. And the Singapore dollar broke upwards against the dollar this week. The Canadian dollar is trending over the last 4 or 5 weeks against the dollar and is approaching an area of where people will be asking the question, will it or won't it break upwards against the dollar? We see that the Swedish krona is also strengthening. So there are a number of currencies strengthening against the dollar, against the euro. The dollar does appear to be topping out. But when we look at that dollar index, it's still above its 200-day moving average, but we certainly can't rule out the fact that it may break down below it, because there are arguments now being ranged against the dollar with the incredible deficits that there are out there and the incredible amount of debt that they're going to have to print. Then there is less of an argument for holding on to this currency when the policy of quantitative easing is in place, that they are deliberately attempting to devalue the currency. Of course, that is a competitive devaluation because so many other countries are attempting the same thing. But also, with the stock market performance that we've had over the last almost 2 months, and with commodities finding support, not just in the industrial metals, but the energy sector outside of natural gas has found support and has rallied rather well over the last couple of weeks, and grains have found support and have been going sideways for the majority of the last few months, then there is less of a need for a safe haven. And it was that safe haven trade that helped to get the dollar up to where it is right now. And if there is less of a need for the safe haven, there is less of a need to hold dollars, and it could easily come lower. But we do need to see it weaken further to confirm that supply has regained the upper hand. And while today has certainly indicated that the dollar is going to weaken versus some currencies, it does need to do more to suggest that we have reached a conclusive medium-term top for the dollar, because it has been ranging in this volatile fashion up close to these highs for the last 4 months or so. I posted a very interesting article yesterday from Clarium Capital, and I would recommend it to anyone who's interested in the way that the Fed is adding liquidity into the markets, because the liquidity situation is going to be key to how markets move over the coming months and even years. We are seeing the greatest the greatest stimulus packages and addition of liquidity into the markets in the history of financial markets. And that is being aimed primarily at the banking sectors, with getting the financial sector up and running once more, and also to stem the tide of foreclosures, particularly as we come closer to the reset dates for so many of those option ARM mortgages, which are going to be resetting from anywhere into the summer of 2009 all the way through to the end of 2010. And it will be a it, well it is a priority at the Fed and the Treasury to keep rates low, to keep the yield on those long-dated bonds low, in order to make the reset of these mortgages as painless as possible for the largest number of people as possible. So they are going to be adding liquidity not just now, but they're going to be attempting to push as much money into the system as they can in order to get it flowing once more. And while they've been adding it in, we haven't had any inflationary effect to date because of the deflationary fears out there, but also primarily because banks haven't been lending it out. They've been hoarding this cash. And that's something that isn't about to change unless they are, I think, forced to do something. So that's not a situation that appears to be about to change anytime soon, and we continue to see these vast amounts of liquidity pouring into the markets. It's also interesting this week that we saw so many of these banks returning really reasonable profits in the first quarter. But when we look a little bit deeper, the vast majority of those profits came from their trading activities and not from their loan books, which remain in disastrous shape. And to set aside for the moment the way that they are reporting their earnings and playing down the potential downside that is there from the really messy condition of their balance sheets, and to concentrate more on the trading aspect of things, because with all this liquidity hitting the markets, there is the distinct possibility that, well, it's almost an inevitability that some of this liquidity is going to get directed towards speculative assets. And that is at least part of the reason that we're seeing this good rally in stock markets, because demand is returning and we're beginning to see that carry trades are being put back on. If we're betting against the dollar getting very much stronger, and with yields are with interest rates so very low and the availability of dollars being, well, with the availability of bonds out there only going to increase in supply, then the viability of carry trades is considerable, and there are plenty of higher yielding assets out there, from corporate bonds to commodity. Well, commodities don't have a yield, but they're certainly performing right now, and the equity markets as well are engaging in this momentum trade. So there is that supply of liquidity hitting the markets coming from central banks and treasuries all over the world. But of course, because we've gone through this crash in stock markets, large numbers of people have liquefied their positions and they're sitting on cash at the moment. And that reserve is the fuel for the next recovery. And it is certainly, I think, there was someone said at the Davos meeting earlier this year that confidence grows like a coconut and falls like coconut tree, sorry, and falls like a coconut. So it will take time for confidence to return, and people are rightfully distrustful of banks in general, but that's not going to remain the case forever. And sentiment remains really quite moribund. We continue to see that people who have made names for themselves in the bear market are continue to predict that we are going to see significant new lows for stock market. But when we look at the chart action, we see that the leading markets out there have almost certainly bottomed. And while the case can't yet be made that, for example, the S&P has bottomed because it hasn't broken upwards from this ranging phase, and it is only now threatening the progression of lower highs, we can probably take it as a given that the majority of stock markets have bottomed for this bear market. And if it's the bottom of the bear market, it's the beginning of the new bull market. But the world is now being split into two very distinct sections. We have, on the one hand, we have the USA, large swathes of Europe, and to a greater or lesser extent, Japan, on the one hand, where interest rates are going to remain lower for longer, where recovery is likely going to take longer, and it's probably going to take longest of all in the USA, because the amount of leverage relative to the housing market has been so high, and the consumer is so over-indebted, and because the country is running deficits left, right, and center, that it is just going to take time for convalescence to take hold. But with the supply of liquidity out there and the relative health of a large number of other economies, primarily China and China-related markets, but large numbers of Asian emerging markets and commodity producers in Latin America. Now, we say commodity producers in Latin America because that leaves out countries such as the Latin American countries like Costa Rica or some of or Honduras, where we don't have the kind of stock market performance that we have in places like Mexico or Brazil, Chile, Colombia, and to a growing extent, Argentina, although Argentina has its own problems. These markets, in conjunction with a number of those Asian markets, are leading on the upside. We continue to see that they're showing relative strength in terms of their stock market performance. A number of them are still growing, although at a considerably lower level. Certainly, interest rates are coming down in markets such as Brazil, where interest rates are currently around the 10% level. So you're still getting a remarkable interest rate differential in these markets, and they continue to show that the dollar is relatively strong against these currencies. Now, that's unlikely to last when confidence begins to return to markets, and when we see that the relative health of a large number of these emerging markets has recovered considerably. And a statistic that was blown around a bit last year and has been completely neglected this year is that trade between the emerging markets, rather than trade with developing markets, has grown considerably over the last decade. So they are now less reliant on the markets that are that we would classically associate them to be dependent on, such as the US and Europe. Of course, they are going to be affected, and they are being affected by the credit crisis. But as we've been saying for well in excess of a year, we are looking at the enterprising East, and we can add in Latin America versus the declining West. And we do have a choice in where we invest, and while certainly a lot large numbers of people will seek to stay in their home country, perhaps for currency reasons, then there is really an argument now to also start looking beyond our national borders. Because if we are just starting to see that relative strength is coming through in large numbers of emerging markets, and if the dollar and the yen have indeed topped out, then those currencies are going to start getting stronger. And that gives us a double whammy as international investors, because we have the capital gain from the stock market, but we have the currency gain from domestic currencies getting weaker relative to Asian currencies or Latin American currencies. Now, we have looked a lot at the Asian dollar index, and it's strengthened rather well in here today. It does need to do more to confirm the bottom, and the Asian dollar index's pattern is quite similar to that of some of the lagging stock markets. But we also look at the Latin American dollar index, and that is in looks more like the developing base formations that we're seeing in the industrial commodities. So if industrial commodities are completing their base, and Latin American currencies are dependent on the commodity markets, and the Latin American dollar index is looking like a commodity or an industrial metal, then there is a good likelihood that the Latin American dollar index is going to appreciate relative to the dollar over the coming months and years, and that is likely to be an additional reason to think about investing in those areas. In the meantime, we're starting to see that some of these really consistent uptrends over the last 7 weeks at this point are beginning to lose some of their consistency. So we are entering a more high-risk time for potentially opening positions. But if this consolidation, as it begins to unfold in some of these markets, is relatively tight, and we see markets finding support above their bases in the case of these leading markets, then the case for allocating some of the cash reserve that so many people are sitting on will be strengthened, and smaller numbers of people will attempt to do that than we would have seen this time a year ago, because the psychology is different. People will seek to do in the new cycle what they'd wish they'd done in the last cycle, and that is sell. But as we start to see relative performance coming through, the temptation to sell performing assets will be that much higher, because we have been conditioned over the last 7 or 8 months to take our profits when we see them. And this is still very much a trading environment, and that type of strategy is still working for large numbers of investors. But when we start to see that markets are finding support at progressively higher levels and sustaining pushes to the upside, when we start to see that 200-day moving averages are turning upwards and that markets have sustained moves above them, then new uptrends will have been confirmed to be in place. And rather than selling out of entire positions, we will be into more of a buy and hold type of environment. But it will take a number of years before the wider market catches on to that change in sentiment when it occurs. We're not there yet. At the moment, we're only at a point where we've seen markets rally to test their declining moving averages. We're starting to see some of them consolidating in the region of those moving averages. So we're still in very early territory, and we are still in this trading environment, but we're probably in the latter stages of that trading environment prior to new consistent uptrends developing in the leading markets. The consolidation period is likely to take much more time to unfold for some of these lagging markets. So when we pose as the judges at an international beauty contest, it is to those markets which are performing that we should turn our attention. When we look at the safe havens that people have really moved to over the last 6 months, we see that the dollar does appear to be topping out in the medium term. The yen has also topped out in the medium term, although is going through a period of consolidation right now. Or I think probably distribution within its developing downtrend is probably a better description. US Treasuries led on the upside, and they peaked earlier than other government bond markets. They have found support around the 120 level, and quantitative easing has been announced, if perhaps not implemented to any great extent in the USA. We also see that quantitative easing has been implemented in the gilt market in the UK to help tr or to attempt to support prices. But yields are at remarkably low levels, and when you look at, for example, 10-year yields on the Treasury market, they're at levels not seen in 50 years. And in fact, I don't have any further back history for the Treasury bond market. I can't look any further back to see how low interest rates have been or the 10-year yield has been before that. But these are extraordinarily low levels. And for government bond yields to be at such low levels, you really do have to be pricing in the absolute worst-case scenario. Quantitative easing will only succeed in keeping yields this low for a limited period of time. It does appear to be only a matter of time before investors start to demand higher interest rates for taking possession of these, or for lending out their own cash for such long periods of time at such paltry returns. And as stock markets begin to perform, the reasons for holding the long-dated bonds start to disappear. I think the primary reason for holding them was a momentum trade for a large number of investors, and that momentum trade is really running out of steam for markets such as gilts and bunds and those Australian 10-years. We've already seen the momentum broken in the Treasury market, and JGBs have pulled back rather sharply over the last few months, or few weeks, I should say, but have found support recently. But making a bullish case for these government bonds to go back up and make new highs, I think, is remarkably difficult in the absence of another catastrophe in terms of what's happening out there in the financial markets. We probably can't rule that out entirely, but the odds are against it at this juncture, I would hazard. The other big safe haven has been gold, and gold has been going through this awkward phase over the last few months, following its test of its highs near the $1,000 level. It's found support recently, and it needs to do more to really suggest that it has put in a low for this consolidation. But we look at the bullish case for owning gold with so much liquidity out there, and with really the temptation to inflate their way out of trouble being one of the only solutions that's available to so many governments that are in trouble, then the allure of holding something that is real hard cash, or real money, is going to be increasingly strong. Gold's bull market still remains intact. It does have potential to make significant new highs. Relative to the Dow, which is a trend, which is probably one of the most important charts out there, gold has already had a big move relative to the Dow and has retraced a large part of the stock market bull run up to 2000. So we're in the latter stages of gold's bull market. That doesn't mean it can't make significant new highs, but neither are we at the very beginning of gold's bull market, and has had a very big move over the last 6 or 7 years. So we are probably leaving the second psychological perception stage of the bull market, which is acceptance, and moving towards euphoria. We're not there yet, and certainly in the medium term, gold needs to do more to suggest that demand is regaining the upper hand. But the potential downside to gold is probably rather limited within this big trading range it's been in for much of the last year. So, with all commodities, there is potential to buy them when they have pulled back, and so many of them have pulled back very extremely. Industrial metals particularly have fallen back. We've seen that copper, zinc, and lead have given up their lead position in the very short term to tin. Tin was firm in here today, is testing the upper side of its range, and was the last of the industrial metals to peak. Certainly played catch up, found support above the $10,000 level, and regardless of how long it takes for it to complete its base, the potential for it to sustain a move back below $10,000 is, I think, probably quite remote. And when we look at the agricultural commodities, we see that the grains have found support, and we are starting to see relative strength in the sugar market. Cocoa has also been relatively strong over the last few months, and coffee is also appearing to be in a base formation. When we look at cotton, it appears to be basing, as is orange juice. Now, the contangos that are out there in some of these agricultural commodities means that holding them for the medium to longer term is a rather treacherous business because of the interest rates. But, well, in fact, the contangos are so wide that they're wider than is justified by the available interest rates that are out there right now. But they do appear to be basing in conjunction with the rest of the commodity sector. And with the wall of money that is hitting markets right now, in conjunction with that vast pool of cash sitting on the sidelines, there is potential. This is going to be the fuel that pushes on to the next bull market. And the leading sectors are all fuller money themes in the as we can see them right now. So with that, I think I will leave you for the evening, but thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a great weekend.